This meeting is now being recorded.
Greetings, everyone. This is Dick Huiz, Policy Implementation Meeting with the IRT on 13th of September, 2016. My name is Dennis Chang. I'll be facilitating the meeting today. And I see that we have a lot of people online. And we have, this meeting is being recorded. So please identify yourself before you speak for the transcript. So let's get started. Welcome again. Now I'll have a agenda before you. It's the same agenda that we published last week and on the IRT wiki page. And what we intend to do today is to continue our review and edit of the draft consensus policy document for the Thick Quiz transition policy for .com.net and .job. And we'll quickly look at the public comment readiness status for us. And then if we have time, we were going to discuss the draft memo to GNSO Council on the privacy that was suggested by Theo, and also Theo suggested that we discuss the who is conflicts procedure if time permits. And then we'll talk about the next steps. So let me pause here. Everybody okay with the current agenda? Jody just joined us. Hearing none, we will proceed then with the review of the policy language document.
You can click on the blue bar, Dennis, and that will maximize it. Right. Yes, right here. Yeah, double click. Oh.
Not quite. Okay, we'll try that again. I guess mine is set up differently. It's okay. So everybody can see this okay on the other way connect. And also this has been distributed to you before. And what I did was took our last version and edited it and added this first item is the thick registration definition. And that was suggested by Roger. An alternate definition for the thick registration reads, domain name for which the sponsoring registrar provides a copy of the associated contact information to the registry operator. Registry operator maintains the technical information, e.g., name servers, statuses, creation date. And the sponsoring registrar associated with the domain name. Contact information for the domain name is maintained by the sponsoring registrar. What do you think about that definition? Go ahead, Francisco.
Oh, hi, this is Francisco. Sorry I didn't raise this issue before in the main list. The issue I see with this definition is that it's not complete. It only says associated contact information, for example, without describing exactly the fields that need to be provided. I see at least two options on how to fix this. We can use some language like the one we had before, that was a preference in the register agreement specifications, at least the fields that are required and which are optional and so on and so forth. Or we can replicate that information in an appendix here or somewhere else so that we can have clarity on which fields are we talking about when we say contact information. And also, it should be noted that there is more than just contact information that now will be require for a registration to be ticked. I think, for example, the fields that were added in the CLD policy to the registry RDS output, like the registrar abuse contact fields, which are required. So I think in that sense, this definition seems incomplete to me.
Mark, I'll give you the floor. Go ahead.
Thanks, this is Mark. I guess before Francisco's comments, I was going to support this edit. I like Roger's definition. I think it's I certainly like it better than the previous definition, and it may not be a perfect definition of thick, but for purposes of describing thick, for purposes if for the purpose of migrating from thin to thick, I think it accomplishes what's needed. I guess I'd need a little time to digest what Francisco said. I don't disagree with your point about this definition not describing all the fields, but I'm not sure the purpose of the definition of the thick registration in this document should be to define the fields, and that maybe that should be defined elsewhere if that's that's the concern there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I suppose I'll just tag on with what Mark was saying. I'm not sure if we need to redefine them here. They're in several other policies and contracts. I'm not sure that we need to relist them. Otherwise, if we do that, we run into the problem. If they change, then you're changing it in multiple slots again. But it's one of those things, can we just refer to other policies or something like that? Just my thought.
Francisco?
Thanks, Dennis. So on that's a very good point, Roger. So perhaps that's a good reason why we should not list the fields here that are defined elsewhere. So in that sense, what if we were to tweak the language we had before? The language we had before was not listing the fields, but instead was referencing the already existing specifications of defining where are the required fields. So it was saying something like you have to provide the fields that are defined by the spec 4 of the base register agreement. So it's referencing some other document that defines what are the required fields instead of listing them here. So just a suggestion.
So Alan and Steve ask a question where on the chat, the objections to the original language, what was it? Anybody want to comment? Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Roger. I brought it up just because, I agree with Francisco, and maybe we can just move this somewhere, but if it's most likely accurate, it just doesn't read very well, and it doesn't even read like what Finn reads, and I was just trying to make them seem similar. But I agree with Francisco, and maybe we would just put a footnote in and, either put the footnote in, and then list the documents that, the fields apply to. Hopefully that helps, Steve.
Go ahead, Joyce.
Yeah, firstly, I thought that ICANN already has the format of who is, because every time that they check out who is information, they will say, okay, this is not complete, that is not complete. We are not complying with the who is requirement. So maybe we should say that whatever that format that required by the authority, or either ICANN or I don't remember which one. I'm sorry about that. And we just, the registry will maintain all the fields that's required. And then besides that, I don't like the way that it says the contact information for the, the last sentence. Contact information for the domain name is maintained by the sponsoring registrar. Does it mean that registrar still have to maintain the contact information? Right? And definitely there are more fields out there that they need to be put it in the whole who is, the I can status or whatever, the meaning of each status.
Hmm.
Does somebody know that who is format is required by ICANN or something?
So the information that you require is or at least I thought that that's what we put in the previous definition. Dennis is showing that, so you can see there are bullets in the definition section. The second bullet is the previous definition as we had it, and the third bullet is the proposal, the new proposal. So perhaps we could find a way to combine those so that we have the benefits of both. I don't have an immediate specific suggestion how to phrase that, but if it works, perhaps Dennis and I could work in proposing something to the mailing list.
Steve, go ahead.
Yes, thanks. This is Steve. I agree that the original thick definition isn't exactly parallel to the thin definition, but neither is the revised thick definition, because the thin definition talks about what the registry operator maintains and provides. I assume that means provides through WHOIS or through a registration data directory service, whereas the proposed language doesn't have anything about what the registrar, what the registry operator provides. It just says maintains. So that, I would hope that would help make it parallel. But again, I'm not entirely clear what the, other than the fact that it's not parallel, I'm not sure what's wrong with the original thick language, and it does have the advantage of referencing the documents from which you can find out exactly which elements people are talking about. Thanks.
Mark? Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. This is Mark. And, I guess, to what Roger said, I don't feel that there's anything wrong with the thick registration definition. It's just, I just don't like the way it reads, and I don't think this is the place, in a definition of what a thick registration is, I don't think that's the right place to put requirements for what all the fields are. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, it's just that doesn't, I think the purpose here is just to define a thick registration, not to, spell out a specification for what all the fields are, and it creates some inconsistencies within the document, and want to note section 2.5 here. It says section 2.5 says starting 1 May 2018, registry operator must require thick registration data upon receiving successful EPP create command per RFC 5731. So here, in section 2.5, there's sort of a definition, or we've sort of defined RFC 5731 as a specification. I guess maybe 2.4 is more applicable, because RFC 5733 defines contacts. So 5733 is Yeah, sorry, I should have used 2.4 instead of 2.5 as an example, right? So we're saying, you know, by 1 August 2017, a registry operator must support contact operations per RFC 5733. So I guess I feel that's a more appropriate place to define those requirements than in your definition of what a thick registration is. It just seems out of place for me. Thank you.
Yeah, well, point well taken. Francisco, go ahead.
So on that regard, Mark and Roger, will it work if we were to leave a more lighter definition of thick registration in the definitions, but add the requirements section in the body,
body.
2 point something, for example.
Yeah, I think so.
To describe it as exactly what is meant to have a thick release output or something like that. Would that work?
This is Mark. Yeah, I mean, that seems like it makes more sense. I mean, I do like Roger's definition. So I think that would be appropriate for the purposes of a thick to thin policy document. But then, I also recognize your point about being clear on what registrars and registries are expected to implement. So I something in between 2.4 and 2.5, or maybe even part of 2.4. If you were to expand that to specify that, yeah, I think that would make more sense, and it just seems to flow better to me. Thank you.
Okay, Chris, I'd like to give a floor to you. Go ahead. Yes, Theo, I don't see Chris requesting to enter, so I can't let him in. So as soon as I see him, I'll let him in.
He says he's back.
Oh, Chris, you're back? Can you talk?
Hey, he's just listening in. He's back.
Okay.
Thanks, Theo, by the way.
All right. Oh, okay. Now, let's see. So let's close this discussion on the definition. Francisco, why don't we then take Roger's suggested language and without adding any requirements and provide a similar parallel to the thin definition and do that.
Yeah, okay? We can use the language suggested by Roger in the definition section, and then we use...
Yeah. The requirements, yeah.
Define the requirements in section 2, somewhere
okay.
In section 2, whatever.
Let's do that. Yeah, we were going to go to section 2.4 anyway, so let's go right to it then. 2.4, this is, Mark brought up, is it Mark? Yeah, right, Mark, you brought this up on the email, and you were talking about the absence of minimum validation rule that you were looking for. I know that we had reviewed this section before, but I think maybe you realized that's something that you needed. Go ahead, Mark. I'd like to hear from you.
Thanks. This is Mark, and I might kick this over to Roger as well, since he was the one that first raised it. But the reference to RFC 5733, including that in the policy will require us to implement validation rules per RFC 5733, which prohibits the reduced validation rules that the IRT previously agreed on. So if we're going to implement something different than what's in RFC 5733, it would need to be defined somewhere in here. So, there's just no you know, the reduced validation rules just aren't accounted for, and it, you know, it would need to be if we're going to implement that. Thank you.
Francisco?
Yeah, very good point, Mark. The intention here was not to say that you have to implement the full RFC 5731 because precisely of what you said, the relaxed validation rules during the, August 2017 and 1 May 2018. So I think what we could do here, if you guys agree, is we could say something like support all the contact operations described in RFC 5733 or even list the operations. The point is, at starting that point, the registry has to support these operations, and then we could add a sentence or sentences describing what are the validation requirements, the minimum validation requirements that the registry will do, or something like that. Perhaps, Mark, you could provide a language suggesting that. Is that workable?
Go ahead, Mark. You want to respond first?
Sure. This is Mark Anderson. Thank you. That sounds fine. I think, you know, at the end, basically what we decided on is, you know, I think there are four fields that RFC 5733 requires, but that the discussion in the ROT was that they would be optional during the transition period. So I think, you know, my ask is that, you know, we're just clear in the policy document that, you know, that the registries, you know, implement them as optional rather than required per the RFC. And then I think also we want to make sure it's clear in the policy document, because there's also, you know, a future date. You know, I think it's after the transition occurs. So I believe that's the 1 February 2019 date. You know, the registries will stop supporting the reduced validation rules. So I think we're looking for two notes. You know, one, just, you know, making it clear that registries are authorized, if you will, to support the reduced validation rules, and then also make it clear the date at which registries will stop supporting the reduced validation rules. Thank you.
Roger?
Thanks. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, you know, we're looking at it two different ways, and I think Mark said it right, is, you know, we need to just allow for those reduced, and Francisco, I thought that idea was good, just to add a few sentences there, but I think we need to look at all of the bullets that mention that and just make sure that we're covering that, so.
Okay.
Joyce, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about 2.6. What is it reference to? Yeah, the one next to it.
Oh, that means that the registry operator must accept all registration data, so they cannot refuse registration data from registrars.
And what does that mean?
3.5. If they submit registration data according to 3.1, we're referencing 3.1 here, from 1 August 2017 to 1 February 2019. So registrar is going to migrate all the relevant data of the existing domain name, right?
Yeah, then so, do we need a 2.6 there? Because it was kind of a little bit vague there without much detail, but then it pointed to 3.1, and might as well just, if 3.1 already explained very clearly, then we really don't need to create this confusing thing.
Yeah, this is when you're right, Joyce, I happen to agree with you. This is when we try to separate the registry and registrar duties or requirements. This is what happens. So I know registrars are obligated to transition, and that's in 3.1, transfer the data. And on the 2.6 basically says registry operator must accept those data. So
I know, but before that 2.4, 2.5, and following that 2.7, 2.8, it's all talk about date. But all of a sudden 2.6 there, and I don't know what it's at and what it does it fall into, which date or something, you know. So it's just a little bit confusing to me.
Yeah. I personally don't see the need for it. Mark, do you think you need 2.6? I mean, I think it's abundantly clear you have to accept the data that registrars provide, right? With the minimum validation rule and whatnot.
Yeah, this is Mark. Yeah, it's certainly implied, and it's not like, now that I think about it, you know, it does seem it's probably redundant with 2.4, right? If the registry operator must support all contact operations, you know, starting 1 August, then, you know, then it's probably redundant to say the registry operator must accept all registration data submitted by registrations in conformance with Section 3.1. So, I would say it's probably redundant and not necessary.
Yeah, if everybody's okay with it, I would like to delete it, make it simpler, because the referencing the other section is also confusing. I agree with Joyce. All right, let's move on. Now, we reviewed 2.6 and 2.7 before, and let's see, now it's 2.8, used to be 2.9, but it's 2.8 now because we just removed one section. This one, we said that the registry operator shall implement the requirements of the registry registration data directory services, consistent labeling and display policy, CLND policy, in conjunction with the Section 1 of Specification 4 of the base registry agreement approved on 9 January 2014. Now, any comments on this?
This is Francisco. I think I made a comment before that or maybe it was someone else, sorry. I can't remember. But it came up in the previous meeting that we need to define two things. When is the data going to be available? And the second thing is what period the data is covering. Never mind. It says already monthly, so it's already saying the data is for the month and has to be provided at the end of the first day of the I guess it only has to be first day of the next month or something like that. But I think it's pretty close.
Oh, which one are you looking at?
The new 2.6, right?
Oh no, I was past that. We already covered 2.6 and 2.7 last time, so I'm on 2.8.
Oh. Sorry.
Well, yeah, 2.6 and 2.7 was edited at the last meeting,
yep.
And this is the edited version. I think we talked about it and we agreed to these.
Then I will just a small edit there.
Okay.
To say by first day of the next month, I think just to make it very clear that you want the data.
Instead of first day of the month, you'd like to say first day of
the next month.
Okay, if that makes it better. Over here too? Right? Does that make it more clear? Both sections? Those are reporting requirements. Okay. No objections, right? Should make it clearer. And let's back to on 2.8. Any objections to the reference to the CLND policy that we already published? Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Dennis. This is Mark. I'm wondering, does the language in 2.9, referencing our conversation earlier about the definition, does 2.9 address that? And I'm just thinking out loud there, but doesn't that cover the required fields and necessary data?
Maybe.
Should.
Yeah, I think it
pretty detailed.
Probably will do once we define it as our, and I guess it will be covered. Because this is covering CLD, if memory serves.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just something you can double check offline, but yeah, I think that might address the conversation earlier about the required fields not being in the definition. But yeah, just a thought. You can take that offline.
So this is Francisco. I remember now why we put this here. The reason being is because these three TLDs will be in a migration phase between August 2017 and January 2019. So this is saying during that period of time, the data related to contacts, it's optional in the sense that if you have it, you have to show it. If you don't have it, then you don't show it, which is not exactly as it is described in CLD. In CLD, this data will be required. So this is saying you have an exception while the data is being migrated. Does that make sense?
This is Mark. What you said definitely makes sense. I'm not sure 2.9 reads that way, though. So I might suggest revisiting that offline as well. I definitely get what you said there. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I brought this up on the list as well. I don't know if it belongs in this bullet or we need to create another bullet, but that holds true for existing registrations indefinitely, and I think we should probably say something about that. If we move a thin registration over, and some of these data fields are missing even past February 2019, if that registration continues, it's still going to have some blank fields. So they wouldn't be required to show that either. Does that make sense?
Yes, Roger. We talked about this several times. I don't know if you're on the call each time. The idea here is that on February 2019, all data must exist, and that's the policy. And the reason for the long duration of the transition is so that people have time to fill the data.
That's not correct. No, that won't be happening. We're going to populate the data that we have into the SRS, but we're not going to backfill any missing data.
So if in 1 February 2019, and this is really the compliance topic that came up before, right? And so we need to be very clear about this because this is the policy. The compliance, ICANN compliance team will be enforcing the policy. And if the data is not there as thick, then it's violating the policy, period. Now, let me turn over to Theo.
Hi, Dennis, and this is a few for the record. And just to track back on what Roger just said, that is just not my recollection of the events that took place during the last 8 months that we were on this. We never thought, we actually wanted to avoid that situation, that compliance would kick in and start to, I mean, we are doing a mass, we assume a mass data correction here. And I've always been against that from the get-go. So we shouldn't go there, as I've mentioned in the early deliberations, that we should be very cautious about this because we are opening up a can of worms here the size of a huge building here that is very huge. So no, that is maybe the what it says here, but it's not what it should say. So I'm very against this language here. And I would caution, caution the IRT here to think very carefully about what we are doing here. Thank you very much.
Jody, go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Jody. Yeah, I agree with Theo. I mean, the data that we're putting in here is what we have in our database. If there is a who is problem or problem with the data right now, then a who is request should be, or an invalid who is request should be done on the contact information. And that won't change with what we put into the thick registries or the thick contacts at VeriSign. I mean, Theo's bringing up a very good point. If we are trying to do a data cleanup, that's just a huge problem. I think you will see tons of domain names going off of the internet because they have invalid who is information. Those should be coming up right now if that is a problem.
Alan?
Thank you very much. I'm having trouble understanding these longer term scenarios. Clearly, I don't think we're in a position where we want to say if there is invalid information today and it is not fixed before the transfer, then there is grandfathering that VeriSign has no obligation to fix it in the future. Therefore, we're really in a situation where if there is information that is invalid or not in compliance with the current policy, and compliance is not following up on this, we have a real problem. We can't grandfather the errors in perpetuity, and it's clearly not really what we were envisioning to have VeriSign have to fix 10 million registration information data. Therefore, I think compliance has to understand they have an obligation to really scrutinize the data for the registrations that are going to be transferred before they're transferred and make sure they're doing their job properly. Thank you.
Theo?
Thanks, Dennis, and this is Theo for the record. Just to remind everyone what we said a couple of months back, we discussed this several times, and we agreed on the process that if there's data missing, it should go through the usual process as it is known today, and in time, the data will correct itself in a, well, natural, organical manner over time. And that's what we said back then. Thank you.
Go ahead, Krista.
Hi, everybody. It's Krista Kapik from ICANN staff. So I'm trying to wrap my head around this conversation and understand sort of what the vision is here. So I think what I hear people saying is we'll transfer the data, what we have. If come 2019, February 2019, there are missing fields, that's okay. It'll correct itself over some period of time, which is an unknown period of time, and that's okay, and that the policy should not require that all registrations at the registries Com, Net, and Jobs. They don't need to be thick. And I guess if I'm hearing that correctly, my follow-up question to that is, how do we reconcile publishing a consensus policy that doesn't require all of those registries to be thick by the implementation date with policy recommendations that say the provision of thick QoS services should become a requirement for all GTLDs, right, both existing and future?
Theo, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, you were breaking up. Okay, this is Theo for the record. I cannot answer Krista's question, but like I said again several times, if you guys are going to kick off a huge data correction program, it's going to be a major train wreck. And that's why we came up with the language. That's why we agreed on several points there that we would not follow that route. We would go with missing data, and if that was the case, then so be it. I mean, we are talking about a registry that's been operating for a very, very long time. We have registrars operating for a very, very long time. Data will be missing, and those domain names are functioning right now without any problems. If we are going to correct all the data, you are going to put a huge burden on the registrars, which can be done, but not within the set time frame here. I mean, we have to go about this a completely different way then. Thank you.
Roger?
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I'm going to start out like Theo did. I'm not sure I'm going to answer Krista's question, but the timeline we set up here was with the assumption that the data as it is today, as anybody can see it and who is today, will be the same on February 1st, 2019. So if you go out and do a whois lookup on a domain at .com, at GoDaddy, and you get some information back, that's the same information that you should get back after February 1st, 2019. And that's what we agreed on, and that's the timelines that we put together to make that happen. And I wasn't around during the org transition, but several people were. And if we're going to do a cleanup, no one's going to like the timelines, I don't think. And I think that one thing to be clear on is any new creates will be contain all the data. It's just the existing registrations would not. Thanks.
Joyce?
Yeah, this is Joyce. I don't quite understand Theo's concern, because you said that the all the old registrations, the data missing or something like that, but we all have to comply with ICANN's whois. So if any domain name that is compliant with the whois, you should have all the data there. They might not be accurate or something, but at least all the format and everything is there. So why can't you just upload those data to the registry? Because if we don't put a date, set a date, then it's going to take forever to finish it and we'll never end. Right? Because everybody has to comply with the ICANN's requirement for the whois right now, for the, you know, the same registries, for the same domain names. So I assume that all your domain names have the correct whois format. So maybe I'm missing something, or maybe Theo has some special concern that I haven't picked it up.
Well, if I may interject here, Dennis.
Go ahead.
Joyce, to your point, of course, we need to be compliant with DRA 2000 routing. That is not being the point here. I mean, we already have a process in place, and you and I, and I think all the registrars on the call here, if we encounter an issue with missing data, we either go out to the registrar where we have an issue with, and they correct the data, and we usually get all these ICANN complaints where there is missing data, incorrect data, and we follow up on that. We have a clear process there. What we do not know is how much data is missing. Could be a lot, could be minimal. We don't know. But we cannot operate under the assumption that there is no missing data. And in my experience, as a Dutch registrar who's been operating since two decades now, or even longer than that, missing data will happen over time. Incorrect data will happen over time. And it's a pain to correct that data in a huge operation. If it gets under, if we use the usual procedure that we have now under the RA 2013 with compliance, then there is no problem. I mean, if there's data missing, we'll solve it the regular way. But let's not go out in advance and try to correct all the data at once. I mean, the Dutch registry does that, but they have a huge incentive to get all those registrars organized to do it. They supply you with technical data, how you can solve it. It is a huge operation. It will cost a ton of money. So I don't think we should be taking that route. I mean, there is no problem now, so why should there be a problem after the transition? That's the point that I'm trying to make here. And if there's missing data, we will encounter it through the usual procedures and process, and we will fix it then. Thank you.
Go ahead, Krista.
Thanks, Dennis. Krista Kapik again. Thanks for that, CEO. So I believe we have the same understanding here on the from a staff perspective, meaning that there is this period of time where you're working to transition the data. That period of time ends January 31st, 2019. All data should be transitioned at that point. In theory, it should all be there. However, if it is not, for some reason, beginning February 1st, 2019, the requirement for these three registries to have all data becomes a contractual requirement under the consensus policy. And if registrations are identified that don't have the complete data, those would be followed up through some sort of compliance process. So I think you just said the same thing, Theo, and if that's what everybody else is saying, then I don't think we have a disagreement here. But if folks are saying something else, then we need to discuss that.
Jody? Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah, I guess I agree with Krista and Theo. I mean, to me, we have all the data that we have as well as we can get it. And on February 1st, 2019, all the data will be at the registry, and it will be the same information that we have now that is in the registrar database. If we try to clean that up before we put it in there, registrations are going to be failing, or it's going to be a huge mess. But what I want to say is that beginning February 1st, 2019, I believe that that's when we started to take off the minimal restrictions for registering a domain name and for updating contacts. I believe that that's when we said those minimums would stop and that we would start doing a validation on the information that's actually used to register a domain name. And I'm just talking about syntax validation, not verification. So then supposedly all good data would be used from February 1st, 2019 onward. In fact, if we're trying to update, you know, if we're doing a transfer of domain name from one registrar to another, if we're doing a change of registrar from one registrar to another, then that data is going to get updated and cleaned, what do you want to say, organically or naturally, from that point, February 1st, 2019. And again, if there are who is violations, we're going to fix them the same way we do now, you know, with an invalid who is request.
Yeah, Jody, it's Chris again. Sorry, Theo, I know you have your hand up. I'd just like to respond if it's okay
to
Jody. So generally speaking, I think that's okay. I just want to make a couple of clarifications here, which is the implementation of this policy, this particular part of the policy, transition from thin to thick, is what is in scope. Data validation and cleanup is something different, and doesn't equal, just as important. I don't want people to think I'm saying data validation or cleanup or verification or whatever the various efforts are going on. Those are equally important, but not in scope for this project. And whatever data validation work or verification work that's going on out there, with respect to registrar data, for example, works independently of this. And then just, you know, Jody, thank you for also confirming your understanding that come February 1st, 2019, the expectation is that these three registries will be thick. They'll have the data they need. If they don't, then that would just be followed up and cleaned up through some other process.
Theo, go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. And no worries, Krista. Actually, that was a pretty good clarification there. I think we're all on the same level here, though the length must reflect that, because when we're talking about data correction projects, that is way out of scope of the recommendations that we had. I mentioned it before. Other people mentioned it before. So that must be taken care of in the language. So I think we are all good to go there. Though I would like to point out that I also would have some clarification from compliance how they are going to deal with that process. I mean, I've been operating under the assumption that if there's a complaint, okay, we follow it up and we work it out just as usual, no problem there. But what I do not want to see is like having a Friday afternoon and having my email box full of like 10,000 complaints of missing data and have it completed within the next 15 days. Not that the situation will happen, but the registrar I'm working for, but we, like I said, we cannot make assumptions here, but I don't want to make sure that such a scenario will not unfold for registrars who have been in the business for a very long time and for whatever reason do not have the data and must double their efforts to make sure that the data gets corrected there. So I want to make I want to have some clarification there on how that should work, because if I'm looking at the who is ARS project, I am not completely happy there. Though it is manageable, but if you are if registrars are missing a lot of data there, then that process is not a process to go. So, if you guys could come up with something there, some clarification, or how you envision this, that would be great on the list or the next call. I would really appreciate that. And I think we should clean up the language like I suggested, a few minutes ago. Thank you.
Thanks, Theo. It's Krista again. So regarding your question about compliance, generally, they're not on the call this week. Our normal contact is on holiday right now, or the person that normally participates. But that being said, you know, they would still follow their standard processes. I understand your point, though, about sort of bulk processing or whatever, and that's certainly something we could mention to them to make sure they're, I mean, they address complaints as they come in, but I know what you're referring to with the WHO's ARS project, and so we'll certainly take that feedback back to them and share that. With respect to cleaning up the language, I guess, so now that, now that our understanding is equivalent, the part we don't understand still is what would you change in this language here? Because we think this language represents what we've just sort of all agreed to be our understanding. So could somebody maybe help us understand what needs to be cleaned up here in the new 2.9?
Yes, we have 4 minutes left to this hour, our meeting. So may I suggest that the IRT maybe do this online on the via email. Go ahead and propose your language. The 2.9 was really meant to provide provisions for the duration of the transition to give relaxation. And this, we all agree on the effective date of the policy, which comes right here. 1 February 2009. And needs to be very clear when the policy is effective, and there's nothing more about this policy after that. Go ahead, Theo, you have last word.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Language about RDAP, we agree that we should continue to develop the language for the draft, even though there is an RFC pending. My question here is, and I do not have to, you don't have to answer it now or anything, you can do it on list, but how will that affect the comment period if for some reason RDAP gets delayed or something, or there are some unseen consequences? I mean, how does that, what's the process there when it comes to the comment period we are aiming for? Thank you.
Theo, just a quick clarification question. Which RFC is pending?
It's pretty late here, and my brains are fried. The RFR that the registries are currently have underway. Sorry, my bad.
Thanks, Theo. That's a great question, and we were hoping to be able to discuss that a little bit with you guys today, but we're still having internal discussions here. We're having lots of internal discussions here about that, so it's being actively worked on. I hope you know that. And as soon as we have an update, we'll definitely be discussing that with the IRT, both the reconsideration request itself and what it means, as well as how it potentially impacts the transition policy that we're working on. So I'm sorry to ask for this, but if you guys could give us just a little bit longer on that, hopefully we'll have something to discuss at the next IRT meeting.
Okay. And next IRT meeting is next Tuesday, same time, as you see here. And we have one more scheduled at the end of September and have not yet scheduled for October. And we are planning on an ICANN 57 session. And hopefully we will have our public comment up before then, and we get some feedback from public on the policy also to discuss that. Now, anything else before we adjourn this meeting? The meeting agenda for the next week will be pretty much the same as this week. Any more comments? Shall we say goodbye then?
Yes, let's say goodbye.
Okay.
Right. Goodbye, everyone.
Okay. I'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye and see you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.